How's everybody doing? Excellent. Have you all had a good week? I want to tell you a little bit about my week. On Wednesday, it was Mind Challenge's 2-month anniversary. It was the 19th of November. We got married 2 months ago on the 19th of September. It's been incredible so far, hasn't it, Challen? I can't see her. Yeah, she's nodding. She's nodding. That's good. On Wednesday as well, it was Valley Women. As one of the praise reports said about getting the trolley full of food, I feel like I need to explain this because it is so incredible. The ladies of Valley Women were asked to bring just a couple of, you know, everyday items that you would buy on a normal sort of weekly shop to put into this trolley. And when I got here, actually before I got here, I saw some sort of suspicious looking ladies trying to shove a trolley into a car at Morrison's. First and foremost, but then when I got here, the trolley was here. Don't worry, it's been taken back as well, I've been told. It's here. There we go, it's here. Nice. But I, like, so the ladies were just sort of asked to bring, you know, I don't know what, just yeah, pasta, some packs of biscuits, some sweets, some cooked meat, some bread. And out in the reception, there was a trolley full of food. And it was just incredible to be able to bless Sue and her family. The Valley Women ladies, you are incredible. Just want to say that. As a guy who has the honor of serving you, it was just a great night. One lady, as I welcomed her on the door, said that she was at a course just down the road and she had left. And the word she used and said to me was that she had somewhere better to be. So she left a course that she apparently had paid a lot of money for. Excellent. So we're in our In God We Trust series. Have you guys been enjoying the series so far? Brilliant. And we're all about exploring an attribute of God and linking that to a promise of God. As a church, we believe that we should live in the light of God's promises. It's one of our purposes to live in the light of God's promises. And so getting to understand God's character should help us grow in our faith and put our trust in our amazing God who is consistent everywhere and every when. And today we're talking about righteousness. Righteousness and justice is the subject of this morning. A quick Google defines righteous as morally right or justifiable. Morally right or justifiable. In the context we're talking about, the Old Testament uses a word that translates as straight, and the New Testament uses a word that translates to equal. When we talk about God's righteousness or justice, we're talking about the fact that God always does what is right all the time without any favoritism. If you're placed in front of an earthly judge, for example, and your crimes are read out, there is opinion and bias in there. But when you're stood in front of God, he sees the facts exactly as they are. No hiding, no opinion, no hearsay. The Bible has so many examples of how God is righteous and just. Ezra says that the God of Israel, you are just. The Psalms say, righteousness and justice are the foundations of your throne. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. Jeremiah says that righteous you are, O Lord. And Zephaniah says the Lord within is righteous. He does no injustice. John says, O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. God's righteousness and justice lead him to always do right, no matter what the situation. If you've got your Bibles with you, why don't you turn to Genesis 18, Genesis 18, verse 20. We're going to have a quick look at a story from there. Shout, got it when you got it. Genesis 18, verse 20. I think we've got the verses, they'll come up on the screen. Don't worry. Then the Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great and their sin is very grave, I will go down to see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me. And if not, I will know. I will go down is the key word I want to pick out of there. Here we see Abraham appealing to God because of God's righteousness. Verse 21, it says that, it says, I will go down, which shows that God wasn't just going to act on what he'd heard, but wanted to see it for himself and make a just decision. He holds us accountable for the things that we've done because he wants to make a fair judgment. Yeah. Last weekend, Pastor Ed spoke a message on holiness. It was a really fantastic message, and it links so closely to righteousness and justice. So I'd encourage you to go get that message, because where holiness is what he is, righteousness and justice is the outworking of that in God's relationship with us. And this isn't limited to God punishing people for what they did wrong. But it shows that God loves us and gave of himself and rewards righteousness to those who are faithful, protecting his people and keeping his promises. 1 Samuel 26, verse 23 says that the Lord rewards every man for his righteousness and faithfulness. Romans 1, verse 7 says, "For it is in the righteousness of God, for in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." God's judgment isn't demeaning. It's right, it's correct, and it's not opinionated. He's not giving you a sentence, but he's showing you where you have messed up so that you can work on it. For example, parents don't simply go around scolding their children and not telling them what they did wrong. When I was about 3 years old, some of you might have heard the story already. When I was about 3 years old, I dropped a biscuit tin on my brother's head. Imagine like a roses tin. He was in his cot and he was probably only like 6 months old maybe. And, you know, I just thought he might be hungry. So I took the biscuits in and I must have sort of waddled over and just sort of dropped it on his head. Apparently he didn't sleep very well after that. And I'm pretty sure my parents didn't just take it off me, shout at me and storm off, but had to explain what I'd done wrong. There was another time, actually, another story about what I've done to my brother. I pushed him down the stairs accidentally. We had gone upstairs, we were gonna play some board game or something. He was carrying the board game downstairs and I was just behind him on the steps. So imagine he was on this one and I was here. And I sort of shoved him to hurry up and he fell down the stairs. But in those, I received adequate punishment for what I'd done and a corrective conversation. Hebrews 12, verse 6 talks about how the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. But how does God's righteousness and justice impact our lives? Why don't you turn with me to Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1, verse, I'm going to read verses 3 to 7. Ephesians 1, 3 to 7. Everybody there? Excellent. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace." That last verse is really what I want to sort of speak into this morning. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. So I want to talk this morning about the fact that God's justice and righteousness lead us into a place of freedom in our lives. And these verses really speak into that. We are forgiven of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. But how does that actually look in our life? Well, I've got 3 points I want to speak into this morning to explain how this is for us. So number one is that God's justice and righteousness finds us. It finds us. God's blessing on our lives was destined from the beginning of our time. In verse 4 of what we just read, it says, "Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him." Holy and blameless before him. Before time began, we were set apart to be called righteous and justified in Jesus. 2 Timothy 1 verses 8 to 9 say, "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purposes and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began." When God created humanity, he intended for us to be righteous before him. And he used to walk with his people and interact with them. But when sin entered the world, that relationship was broken. But it doesn't mean that we can't interact with him now. Proverbs 21 verse 21 says, "Whoever pursues righteousness and kindness will find life, righteousness, and honor." Yeah. Titus 1 verse 2 talks about how we can rest in the hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began. God set us apart and promised us that eternal life before we even did all these bad things. God set us apart to be holy and blameless. We've got the hope of an eternal life chasing us down, chasing after us day by day. God is here to encounter us, to allow us to experience him through the freedom that his grace and Jesus Christ gives us. Number two is that he frees us. God's justice and righteousness frees us. We don't have to strive and strain anymore. And I don't know about you, but that makes me feel so great that Jesus loves us so much and we don't have to strive and strain anymore because we have redemption through his blood, as it says in Ephesians 1 verse 7. We can relax and be free in the grace of God for our lives. God's justice is for freedom, not restriction. And humility is key to understanding that righteousness doesn't depend on any of our efforts. We're judged on Christ's actions first. Me and Dave were talking just before the service about what justice means to us. And Dave was saying that we don't want to be judged because that means death for us, but we're happy for other people to be judged. And it's so good that it's not on our effort, it's on Christ's efforts in our lives. Christ has set us free, so we should live in the light of that and long to serve God in every heartbeat and every breath. Romans 6 verse 4 in the Amplified Version. Can we put this one up on the screen? I just want to read this one. This is one of my favorite verses in the entire Bible. We were buried therefore with him by the baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, so we too might habitually live and behave in newness of life. I love the fact that they put the word habitually in there. That's one of my favorite verses because of that word. It sort of sets us apart and it says it should be something that comes from you, not something you strive to do, not something you strain to do. The way we live our lives should reflect what God has done for us. We should habitually live and behave in newness of life out of a response to what God has done for us. Martin Luther once said that if we understand justification, we are in the clearest light. If we do not know it, we dwell in the densest darkness. We are in the clearest light if we understand justification. If we don't know it, we dwell in the densest darkness. Righteousness and justice allow us to live the best life we were called to live, regardless of the things that we've done. Acts 10 verse 43 says that to him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. When Christ came to give his life, he did it so that everyone could know the Father through that one single action. Yeah. And today I can stand on this stage, not a perfect human being, but knowing that I have Christ living in me, outworking through me, who he has all authority on heaven and earth. So I can confidently stand up here and speak the word of God. And regardless of what words I use, God is going to do something through these words. So often people assume that when you're talking about God's righteousness and justice, you're putting walls around yourself. You're putting, you know, you're sort of bricking yourself in and you're locked in. But there is no limit to how far up those walls go. There is absolutely no limit. So we can be restricted. We can sometimes feel restricted, but in God's grace, we are lifted up and we can reach for the heavens. John 10 verse 10 says that the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Yeah. Galatians 5 verse 1, for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm therefore and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Last week in Pastor Dave's message about creativity, he said, having sin in your life doesn't stop you from doing good things. It just separates you from God. Because there's a big tension here. Obviously, we know we can live a guilt-free, shame-free, larger-than-life life, but not screwing up just because we can be forgiven. It's a huge tension we've got to keep in. We've got to keep, because obviously God gave of his son so that we could have life in all its fullness, and we're human, so we mess up so often. And we need to remember that it's not there just so we can keep crawling back to God and saying, I've messed up time after time. It should be that we habitually live and behave in newness, as it says in Romans. Matthew 6, verse 33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Right standing before God allows us to enter into all that he has for us. That doesn't mean having to strive towards impressing God, but work out our salvation daily, like it says in Philippians 2 verse 12, and live in faith before God because of what he's done for us. And my third point is for us. God's righteousness and justice is for us. Matthew 5 verse 6 says that blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Sometimes I think saying that we don't have to worry is easier said than done. It's a day-to-day outworking of our faith in Jesus Christ that helps us to live in that truth. I know in the past 2 months of being married to Challen that sometimes we've really had to put into practice that idea of not worrying and putting our trust in God. There have been some things that have come up where it's been so close and it has just been that we trust in God. There has been nothing more that we can do but trust in Jesus, that he is going to come through. He is going to provide. He's going to do what he set to do. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 16 to 21. We're going to put these up on the screen as well. 2 Corinthians 5, 16 to 21. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. God's standard is far too high for us to reach on our own. And God considers our sin as if it belongs to Christ, not to us. The fancy word for this is imputation. It's called imputation. He took our sin and put it on Christ, and then took Christ's righteousness in God, which is not our own, and put it on us. He took our sin, all the things that we have ever done wrong, are doing wrong, and will ever do wrong, all the sins of the world that has ever done wrong, put that on Christ, then took Christ's righteousness in God as his son, which is now part of us, which we do not deserve in any way. Because Christ took our sin, God regards us as having the status of righteousness in his eyes. This is how we're justified in God. He counts people who believe in him as righteous. Isaiah 53 verse 11 says, out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. A misunderstanding of God's righteousness and justice can be the biggest thing that holds you back from experiencing all that God has for you. So many people, and even people I've talked to sort of in the weeks leading up to this message, are trapped in a thought pattern of feeling judged and guilty by the church. I've had so many conversations with people at work when I'm telling them that I'm speaking on this subject, who say, oh, every time I walk into a church, I just feel so guilty. I just feel so judged. And it saddens me because the life that God has set out for his people is one of freedom. He called John 10, verse 10, it says that we were called to be free. We were set free. And have life abundantly. Earlier on, I talked about how my parents gave me an adequate punishment. God's adequate punishment for us is death. It's as simple as that. For all the wrongdoing we've ever done. But when he was nailed to a cross, Jesus stepped in and took the sin of the world so that you and I could have life in all of its fullness. Just take a moment to imagine every wrong thing you've ever done. And all the consequences of those wrong things, and all the consequences of the wrong things that you may do in the future, hitting you in one single moment. All the guilt, all the shame. Now multiply that for every single person who has ever lived and ever will live. Jesus' body broke so that ours wouldn't. Jesus' body broke so that ours wouldn't. Christ took our sin and bore the wrath of God that we deserved. We were made right even through all our wrongdoings. We were made right even through all of our wrongdoings. Can I get the worship team up, please? I just want to spend some time allowing people to sort of have a think about this and really pray into it. So often we trap ourselves with this guilt and shame. We trap ourselves, we get ensnared by it, we can't stop thinking about it. And then when we come into church, we just don't feel like we're meant to be here. We don't feel great. We don't feel like we can encounter all that God has for us. And I want to pray this morning for anybody who feels like that to be set free from it. Church isn't meant to make you feel like that. Church is all about the risen Lord Jesus. He died on a cross so that we can have freedom, so that God's justice and righteousness is portrayed in the best way, so that it is used in the best way, that we might be righteous, we might be set free in him. Why doesn't everybody just stand to their feet? We're just going to take a few moments to pray. If that's you, if for you, you just feel judged and guilty and shameful when you walk into church and feel like you don't belong here, feel like you can't worship Jesus with all that you have, I'd love to pray for you. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. In him we might become the righteousness of God. You are set free. You are set apart. You are called. You are perfect in God's eyes because of what Christ did on the cross. If that is you, if you feel like God is judging you when you're in church, I just love for you to put your hand up so I can pray for you. Nobody else is looking around. There's only me looking. After three, if that is you, just stick your hand up and I'll acknowledge you, and then I just want to pray. Thank you. I can see your hand back there. Thank you. See your hand in the middle there. Is there anybody else? Let's just pray. Father, thank you so much that you gave your son so we might have life in all of its fullness, life in abundance, larger than life, life. All of the sin of the world was put on his shoulders in that one moment. He was broken so that we didn't have to be. And God, I pray for these people who have raised their hands. God, I pray that you just meet with them right now. I pray that something of your spirit releases inside of them so that they know they are set free, they are set apart, they are called to be different. God, and that all of their sin, all of their wrongdoing is put on your son, Jesus. That they can walk into this church with thanksgiving. They can enter the courts of God with praise on their hearts. They're set free and called in you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's just keep our eyes closed for a minute. I want to pray for other people as well. Some of you in here might not know Jesus and might have had that through your life. You might have always felt wrong done by the church. You might have had a bad experience in the past. You might have never have experienced church like this before. And this morning, God has been speaking to you and God has been moving in your life. And you just know there's something you need to do about that. You need to make a response. You need to change something about your life. And again, with every eye closed, every head bowed, there's only me looking around. If you want to make that decision to follow Jesus Christ, to give him your sin, to give him all your wrongdoing, to give him your worry, to give him your fear this morning, I'm just going to count down from three. And if you raise your hand, I'd love to pray for you. You can make the best decision you've ever made in this moment. 1, 2, 3. Amazing. Let's just pray. Father, thank you so much that you called us to be set apart, that you have given us life in all of its fullness through your son, Jesus Christ. And that we can be set free, we can be set apart, we can live our lives without worry, without guilt, and without shame in you because of what you've done. God, I pray that you just help us work on that day by day. Live it out in our lives for your glory, for your name. Amen. Amen.